What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we're going to do another book review. You know, you guys love those. We're going to be talking about Steal the Show by Michael Port, which is all about mastering the ability to perform and speak publicly and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. We are all performers. Every single one of us.
Yeah. So, yeah. Are you guys, did you guys enjoy this book? Are you excited to talk about it?
Yeah, I'm very looking forward. I think it's helpful no matter who you are, what you do, any profession. So, why don't we kick it off with some stats and facts? That's how we like to set these babies up.
Well, before that, can I throw out a quotable?
Oh, yes, please do, Taylor.
Okay,
I mean,
thank
step
you.
On the quotable,
it's
Taylor.
Fine. We will persevere as we pick our crumpled body from the road. So this quotable is from Mark Twain, who apparently suffered from very bad stage fright. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. And the quote is, "Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear."
I love that.
It's really good. I feel like they paraphrased that in the Princess Diaries in that letter that her dad wrote her. Do you remember that?
No.
But I do feel like
young?
You watched that a lot.
I did. I absolutely did.
Cam loves that
meanest
movie, I think.
And most accurate thing you've ever said to me. Is this a roast? But I do feel like you've seen it a lot of times.
I feel like it's on brand.
Dorky girl becomes a princess. Real, relatable for Taylor.
Dude, I'm pretty sure Cam loves that movie.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true.
It's a great movie. I think I'm just younger. I think that's what it is.
That's what I meant more. Like,
that
wasn't one that I like binged much because I was like starting to get a little too old for that. But I can see how like if I was your age when that came out, I would have for sure been like all over.
Is that the one with Julie Andrews and Anne Hathaway?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen the first one, but they've made several now, right?
I think they made. I think they only made two. The second one was pretty good, too.
Okay. Like, I know that Cam watches all of those things. So
I read
you know,
the
you're
books.
Not alone.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Like, which are more adult than the movies.
Oh.
Your Princess Diaries is my Matilda.
Oh, I loved Matilda. Yeah.
See?
Matilda I watched every weekend as a kid.
That's
yes.
So you can roast me about Matilda if you'd like.
No, Matilda's cool.
Matilda is the fucking shit. Try to roast Matilda. I'd like to see you try.
No, Matilda's a much cooler answer for what did you watch every day. I think Matilda scared me when I saw it.
Oh my god, Miss Trunchbull.
Terrifying.
Dude, that's actually like that's a legit very scary part of that movie.
Yeah.
With the nails
still
and
upsetting.
Stuff? That's
yes.
not okay.
That's like medieval, like how they tortured people and shit.
Oh, man.
Over chocolate cake.
I was into it.
Yeah.
That was great. That was a great film.
Yeah. The important thing is we all watched Willy Wonka. Okay.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Of course. All right, stats and facts. Do you have any more quotes that you want to throw out, Taylor?
Nope. I am all dried up.
Okay, here we go. So fear of public speaking is called glossophobia, which I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
We're all speakers. You know, we've all gotten paid to speak publicly, and I didn't know that that was the term.
Yeah. Oh, should we know the term for failing and what we succeed at? No, I'm joking. Public speaking is very scary, and if you're glossophobic, I support you.
Isn't it the number one fear?
Yeah,
more than death. Over death.
Over death. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Who has that joke? Someone has an old joke about...
Maybe Seinfeld?
Oh, I think it is Seinfeld. People would rather speak it... Would rather be in the coffin than speak at their own funeral.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that is Seinfeld.
What a great joke.
So, yeah. So according to a publication by Columbia University, social phobias such as glossophobia have a negative effect on several aspects of a person's career and life. 10% impairment on wages. You may get paid 10% less than others due to the negative effects of your social phobias. 10% impairment on graduation rates from college. 15% impairment on the ability to obtain a managerial and leadership position, and only 8% of people suffering from social anxiety and or glossophobia seek professional help.
Oh, wow.
Wow, when you put it that way, I mean, that affects a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because just like the fear of asking your boss for a raise, like that's sort of like a social anxiety situation, does that fall under the umbrella of glossophobia?
It sounds like it does.
I mean, it's technically speaking in public.
Right.
But right, not or even, like to a crowd of people necessarily.
Or even if, I mean, as if you're in a leadership role, you might be managing like a team of 5 people that you might have to do like weekly group meetings or something. And if you're nervous to like speak about that, or if, I mean, maybe if there's just a lack of confidence, maybe there's a perception that, you know, maybe people are less likely to kind of take orders from you well or something. I'm not sure. But I do know that if you do suffer from this at all, like, have you tried like signing up for an improv class or something? Just anything that can kind of, it'll be scary, obviously. Yeah.
Have you tried actively engaging in your nightmare?
Yeah, oh, exactly. Baby steps into the nightmare, but kind of like what we, when we had Cy on talking about like exposure therapy a little bit with the OCD episode, it's like, is there any way that you can engage with this in a way that is outside of the professional world to where like you can sign up for a class, whether it's a speech class or improv class or just anything that gets you out of the comfort zone to kind of start that process a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to suffer in silence and not at least try.
Right.
You know, only 8% seek help. That's a really low percentage.
Right.
Yeah. That exposure therapy thing does make sense. I mean, I had really bad stage fright for a while when I started doing stand up. But before that, I was like a really shy kid and I couldn't, like, I wasn't even good at speaking to people on the phone. Mm. And once I got a job and I started working and I like had to talk to people, that helped a lot.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that meme where it talks about the anxiety you used to have in class during popcorn reading, where you would count out the number of people ahead of you and then scroll to where that was in the book to read out loud so you could practice?
Oh, man.
My best friends from home and I were like laughing about that, like, oh my god, we totally fucking did that, because that was so much anxiety, right? That was like one of the first times you had to speak publicly.
I hope they abolished that by now.
Popcorn reading.
I think that's fucked up. I really do, because you think about what if somebody does have that fear, or some, you know, there's some kind of anxiety, and then everybody in the class, we all end up knowing who's gonna suck at reading the most, and like, you know, it's like, it's just like a terrible, it's like institutionalized bullying in a way, or like systemic bullying in a way. You know, they're not meaning to, but I feel like it just draws attention, and it's just like, I don't like that.
Also, that's a really shit way to have to read a book. Like, imagine that book on audio, like an audio book where it's a different person reading every sentence. Like, that's not fun and pleasant. Like, nobody enjoys a book like that.
Yeah.
Just like, let us read the book.
Yeah.
But it was because they thought we were gonna tune out.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
They keep you on your toes. Keep you on your toes.
But really, it just made the person in the class who had a hard time reading feel like shit.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and we all knew who that person was. Maybe you were that person. But I know there was a couple people in my class, and you could tell how freaking upset they would be the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I hated that shit.
Yeah.
School? Ew. Yes. Yeah. Everything about school felt like just... they were like trying to suss out the weak ones.
Right.
It was a nightmare.
No, I did not like that at all.
Anyway.
So here's a little intro of the book. As odd as it might sound, all of us are performers. And I know for some of you that might not resonate, but I did find this part very interesting. You're constantly assuming different roles in different social settings, changing your behavior or vernacular depending on the situation. In other words, you're performing. So when you interview for a job, give a talk, caption a social media post. Yeah. That was interesting to me. I'm like, that is technically performing in a way.
Absolutely.
Describe yourself on a dating site.
Oh, yeah.
We all know how to, quote unquote, play a part. As author, Michael Port leveraged his previous experience as a professional actor when he moved into the corporate world. The intention of his book is to help readers leverage their intuitive understanding of playing a role and take it to the next level. So this book helps readers see why everyone is a natural born performer, how to unlock your authentic inner voice, and how improvisation can help in different professional settings.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that? That, I think, really opened my eyes to being like, oh, yeah, you are performing, even when you're not actually speaking aloud.
Absolutely. Especially with social media now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, have you ever had, like, the feeling, like, in different social situations, you're kind of a different person? And have you ever had anxiety about, like, when those when those groups might mix at one event? Mm-hmm. And then you don't really know, like, wait, who am I at this social event? Like, am I this person or this person? And, like, they're going to meet each other. And, like, what is, like, yeah, I think we all kind of play a different role depending on who we're around. I think that makes complete sense.
There's an actual thing I learned in college called communication accommodation theory, which I feel like I've maybe spoken about on here.
Yeah.
That, like, the way you talk to your grandma is different than the way you talk to your boyfriend, and you accommodate your communication depending on who you're speaking to.
Yeah.
So that is, like, a very normal thing to have a different almost face a little bit, different voice for people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure it stems back to needing to survive in the tribe, right?
Right.
Like, you got to know your audience.
Adapt,
so you don't get, you know, bludgeoned to death. That's probably what the, you know what I mean? Like, if you've got to kind of, you got to know how to talk to people.
Yeah. That makes sense.
All right.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So, next thing he talks about, you got to know what role you are playing. So, is it a personal role or professional role, and when to mix the two? So, mixing the personal with the professional often ends badly. It can decrease the level of respect or authority afforded to you by colleagues. Like, an actor knows the context of a scene for a certain role, develop the ability to gauge the topics and behaviors appropriate in your professional setting. Don't date coworkers.
Is this Don't Shit Where You Eat? Yeah. This is Don't Shit Where You Eat.
This is what it sounds
and
like.
And we've all done it.
And we are.
I married the shit where I ate. I mean,
yeah. You were like, can I get a to-go box, actually, for the shit here?
I'm living with the shit I ate, so, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's true.
We're all. I mean,
always forget that you also.
We're all shitting where we eat.
Let's be all.
You know what's so weird? We're talking about, like, dating coworkers or whatever. Kane just texted me saying that he just ran into Roy from The Office on the street.
What?
Oh my God.
On the street?
Like, Roy and Pam, they dated in The Office, shitting where they ate. But, like, oh my God. Sorry, I usually wouldn't, like, share a text, but I just got that. And I was like, oh my God.
Did he get a picture?
I don't know. I would have tackled him. Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Okay. What a dork.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, continue.
Being professional doesn't mean you have to abandon your authentic voice, past experiences, or values and beliefs. So an actor knows their inherent qualities bring life and authenticity to their character. Your unique story, history, insights, and perspectives are relevant to others, even in professional settings.
For sure. Okay. I mean, you gotta, like, kind of pick and choose, I think, and that's probably, like, that boundary between professional and personal. Yeah. How to relate to people without being inappropriate.
Yeah.
Delaney.
Without touching their arm.
You know what's interesting is that I really do think it depends on who you work for or like what your job
definitely
is. Because yeah, I have found that sometimes when you're too professional or like too uptight in an office situation, that can also not be great either. Uh-huh. Like I think people are more likely to respond well to you, especially if you're in a leadership role where you can kind of like be a person and like you're relatable, you know. I don't know, I walked a very fine line between professionalism and personal at my previous corporate job, and worked out pretty well for me. But I was also working with like a lot of young people, mm-hmm, and you know, it was a very different environment to other jobs I've had where I've kind of kept that shit locked in a little bit more. Right. But I found it that sometimes I felt like they listened to me more when I was a little bit more candid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You gotta know your audience.
Yeah. You have to know your audience.
I've never had a real job, so I can't speak to this, but that sounds correct to me. Sheryl Sandberg demonstrated the balance between personal and professional when she wrote about her experience as a corporate leader at Facebook in her book Lean In. Ooh. So she found an appropriate space to share her personal experience, making herself relatable to millions of readers and helping inspire a movement of professional empowerment for women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
That is very cool.
That's a good point.
And know the types of roles you identify with, but know when to adapt them for different circumstances. So being adaptable doesn't mean you're inauthentic. A chameleon isn't pretending to be something it's not when it changes colors. It's expressing the full range of its potential. Oh, I like that.
That sounds like something a liar would say.
I was just going to say.
Now
that sounds like
there
a nice personality disorder description.
Oh, a man might play the role of battalion leader professionally and the role of father at home. Both roles are authentically his, but he shouldn't act towards his daughter the way he acts towards his battalion. Really? They could have come up with a different example. Battalion's the one they stretch for. That's the one they grab for. I'm sorry if you're a battalion leader, but I don't know how relatable that is to majority of people who are listening.
What is a battalion leader?
I have no idea.
A battalion, I think,
is... that like the thing at the marching band?
No,
where
it's
baton?
Oh, my God.
You're thinking of somebody who throws a baton in the air.
Wait a minute. Is this like an army situation?
Yeah, I think
so. Okay, maybe that is more relatable than what
I think you're like, you like give a general a battalion or something.
That makes a lot more sense.
It's like a group.
So that makes a lot more sense why you wouldn't want to treat your daughter that way. Like, drop and give me 10.
Right. You thought it was battalion leader. The music
the
man.
The parade.
I'm so sorry, guys. You know, sometimes words are hard.
You learn a lot on this show. Sometimes it's just in a roundabout sort of way. You learn what something isn't before you learn what something is.
Oh, gosh. Okay, guys. So... if you are too rigid in your sense of self, you lose the room to adapt and improvise. If you want to grow, you have to be able to change and try on new roles. A comedian may be a clown on stage. Whoa. Okay, guys.
Ouch.
Okay. Yeah. A comedian may be a clown on stage, but if she wants to try directing a movie, she'll need to adapt her behavior for a leadership position. Playing new roles will improve your ability to communicate and make you tolerant of alternative perspectives. When you experience the struggles associated with a new role, you gain insight and deeper understanding of the people in your life who typically perform that role. That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, like when you become a parent, you're like, my parents weren't that bad. I've dropped them twice.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You're like, this is really hard.
I wonder if parents listening are identifying with this part in particular, because I do think that's a big thing. I mean, and they're talking about it with the battalion leader, but like, how do you have those two faces? Like who you are as a parent and then who you are outside of being a parent, which I struggled with because my mom growing up treated me so like, I mean, she was absolutely my parent, but there was also a lot of like that sort of best friendship type of a feel. Whereas my dad and stepmom definitely had like the parent face, you know, like they showed us who they were as parents. And then outside of that, they would be, you know, like who they were at work and with their friends. And I don't know what is better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the only before my previous corporate job, I worked in a very, very corporate job. And so I'd go to my very, very corporate job during the day, and then I would go and perform at night. And it felt exhausting having to be two different people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for me, I feel I'm happiest when I can pretty much be the same in most situations. But obviously you have to tweak things a little bit, but I did not like feeling like I was censoring myself at work and then going and being my true self in the evening. And so I think there's a fine line between being like a healthy chameleon versus like being one that's kind of being forced to be that way.
For sure.
So yeah, it's just very interesting.
Again, we also don't have the types of jobs where we have to snap into a professional mode, but we understand most people do. Like, we're very lucky where it's like, no, I go to work and then I'm even more myself. I'm the most myself.
Definitely. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't too long ago where I had to like dress up in heels and a nice outfit every day and put on a pretty face and greet people as they walked in and try not to accidentally say shit and stuff. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
That is a very different role than like who I am as a person.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, I will say though, I'm doing more colleges now and the criteria is different for every college. And so I have to call the college ahead of time to ask like what material's okay. So I do sometimes feel a little bit like, despite that it's within stand-up comedy and I do get to be myself, I have to kind of figure out like what version of myself I'm allowed to be.
Yeah.
I know you went through that too, doing colleges. You still do colleges.
Colleges pretty much let me say whatever I want.
That's great.
Are you getting a lot of pushback?
They've been letting me say what I want. I did do a college this past weekend that I found out afterward was like a little more religious. But I feel like, I mean, they told me ahead of time, no content restrictions, just as long as it's not like hateful or disparaging.
Yes.
I think they're more like, oh, is this somebody who's going to come in and have a bunch of like race jokes or something like that? Mine's more just like, hey, can I do some sex jokes?
Yes,
I don't even swear that much, but it's just like, can I talk about sex things?
Right,
But yeah, I don't know. I know if I did a really, really conservative college, they wouldn't let me be sexual. So
but for the most part. Yeah. Do you get this when you ask them? I usually just get a kid being like, just don't be racist.
And I'm like, yes.
I wasn't planning on it.
Yeah, don't be homophobic. I would never, you know, but like that they have to say that for a reason because some comics come through and are fucking terrible. So interesting that within this job, there sometimes are still like different hats you got to wear.
Totally.
Yeah. More often it's at home with your parents.
But. Yeah, for sure. Right. Know how to listen to your audience. So I want to talk about why it's important to be an engaged listener when you're performing. Actors learn early in their training that if they aren't present and openly listening to their acting partners, they are likely to deliver inauthentic and boring performances. This is because actors don't just manufacture emotions out of thin air. They get angry or sad in response to what they hear. This is also true in life. The less you're present and openly listening, the less likely you are to respond in interesting, authentic ways, and the less likely your conversation partner is going to bother listening to you. So it kind of goes both ways. Neuroscientist Seth Horowitz calls this whole brain listening, a kind of mindfulness that enables you to be present and focus on what's being communicated to you. In the professional world, how can you listen when you are the one speaking? So when you're giving any kind of performance, whether it be a speech, interview, group discussion, your goal should be to connect and be understood by your audience. So look for body language cues to help you determine, does the interviewer slash audience understand what you're saying? Do they look engaged and present in the conversation?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of that multitasking, like you're talking, but you're also seeing how they're listening to you.
Yeah. And sometimes you might need to switch gears.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you are talking and you see that everybody is very bored by the conversation, like, no, I'm just saying like if you're at a party and you can see that people are just like not engaged anymore, or they're like, maybe they're looking at their phone or they're trying to figure out how to like leave the circle. You know, you might be like, oh, have I been talking too long?
Mm.
Like, maybe I should kind of kick this to somebody else. I think it's just about being aware. And, you know, obviously I know some people are not aware of those things for different reasons. Like, but I think it's just kind of like, again, know your audience and like be okay with improvising. you know?
Definitely. Yeah. I've made Thanksgiving dinners at my dad's house very uncomfortable sometimes by bringing up stories that I think are real funny and are funny around, like, people my age and, you know, comic friends and around a table of people who are very, you know, like, manners first and we don't talk about those sort of things. Boy, that shit gets real tight butthole real fast. So I've learned that the hard way.
Absolutely. I know there was a girl that I used to work with, and I could tell that anytime that I accidentally said, like, shit or something, she would really tense up and, like, get uncomfortable. And so I'm like, oh, I gotta just kind of watch myself around this girl, because she's obviously not comfortable with me as a person. And I have to just, you know, but she could feel uncomfortable enough to, like, tell HR that I swear or something in a work setting. And I'm like, well, I don't want that to happen. So I'll just say shit to the people I know that they're fine with it.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't been paying attention to, like, how her body language changed, I might not have known that, and I could have just kind of kept going until there was a real big problem.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah, I think it's important to kind of read the room.
Read the room for sure.
Yeah. Read the room.
If you're playing a new role, know you can fake it until you make it. Still faking it. Plenty of actors hear their inner critic say, you don't belong here, as they take the stage. But there are several techniques that can help you beat these self-defeating patterns of thought. The two techniques that the book outlines stem from the idea, if you act like something is true, it's more likely that it will turn out that way in reality. That might sound like New Age mumbo jumbo, but there's plenty of hard evidence to back it up. Okay, let's see it. Technique, visualization.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A 2012 published psychiatric study by Thomas Newmark showed that athletes who visualized successfully completing tasks had measurable boosts in their performances. Mm-hmm. Brain scans during visualizations showed an accompanying shift in neural activity from the left hemisphere to the right sphere, making new neural connections. Try visualizing how you want to be in an interview, speech, or other professional performance before you get there. How will you successfully communicate your ideas? How will your audience react to your performance? I think that's okay. I mean, I'll give it to you. Do you guys feel like the visualization works for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm real big on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't know what it was. I did this recently, and I don't know if I was, like, watching a random YouTube video, Tony Robbins-esque type of video, and they were, like, everybody in the audience was, like, doing some kind of exercise where you're, like, you're spinning your body to look behind you, and then they want you to just, like, imagine you're doing it and do it again, and you notice that you can go, like, even further the next time. It's a very weird thing. So they actually show you how powerful visualization is, where like the first time you can kind of, like, okay, now, like, the first time you spin, now keep an eye out, like, where are you looking right now, make sure you know the marker of this.
Okay.
And then when you do the second time, see where you're at, and I went significantly further. It was very strange.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, I don't know. That was like a pretty cool example of that. And you didn't really know what you were doing until afterward.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you were at the second marker, like, holy shit, I'm actually way further turned around. This is strange.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's helpful.
And then the other technique is power posing.
Oh, ooh. I've done this several times.
I don't know what this is. It?
Okay, so power posing. Psychologist Amy Cuddy from Harvard University found that assuming expansive, dominant physical positions while looking in a mirror had demonstrable physiological effects. Cuddy concluded that acting confidently in front of a mirror makes people more confident because it can boost testosterone, a hormone linked to feelings of power and control, and reduce cortisol, a stress hormone. So try doing power poses before you give your next professional performance.
Yep. Done it.
You love it?
Been there, done it.
Really?
I'll go into if it's an interview, or even like sometimes before I would go on stage, I would go into the bathroom and I would like, I don't know if it was technically a power pose, but I guess, but like trying to just like make yourself bigger. Like instead of like being all like kind of crouched and like,
yeah,
like if I get nervous, I kind of just tend to like, you know, go inward. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, like,
be big,
stand tall, be big, wait, put your arms in the air and just kind of be like, fuck yeah, you know? Yeah, so I've definitely done that. But you kind of just notice, oh, I'm just kind of like carrying myself a little bit differently now. It's just about kind of being mindful about like, what is your body language saying? Like if you're going up to speak and you're kind of crouched over and like not sure of yourself, like there's definitely those types of exercises that can just make you feel a little bit more, all right, well, I'm just going to be mindful to like have my shoulders like straight up when I walk out there, you know, just, but oh, I've done that. Dude, I still had stage fright towards the end of doing stand up. Mm. I still had stage fright. I mean, not all the time, but enough to where I'm like, this would get exhausting for me.
Really bothered you.
This would really get exhausting for me if I was doing this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like makeup's my power pose, you know, like when I'm not wearing it. Like I ran into somebody at the airport this last week and I didn't have makeup on, and it was somebody who's like kind of important in the business. And I was like, like I could feel myself having to force myself to act confident.
Yeah.
Like don't act slouchy. Don't act like you want to hide inside yourself. Just be like, hey, like have big energy. Don't let them see that you are like wishing that you had put makeup on this morning. But when I put makeup on, I feel like I carry myself in a much more confident way than when I don't have it on.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it.
Well, I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, I think, take what feels good. I also like there's a book that we should also do about like having an alter ego. And I think that can be super helpful when you're going into positions of like speaking in public or athletic performance or any kind of performance too, where you can like physically put something on to basically become that other person. So like a lot of like big people have done this and talked about this, where like, you know, if you are stepping into a role, you might like put fake reading glasses on, and then it helps you kind of like own that person and like become that person. Or like when I first started doing stand-up, I'd wear a leather jacket every time I was on stage because I felt like I was able to get more into character than if I had just gone up there and like whatever I was wearing that day. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's like an interesting thing too, where like you could, the alter ego effect, I think, I don't know if that's the name of the book, but we should definitely cover it because I've heard about it and it sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I always put my hair in a ponytail on stage. I feel like that's like my like switching into, okay, I'm about to go on stage.
Yeah.
My hair is back. I feel more focused. I feel more like ready. Like I can see everything. I don't like if I move around, like my hair gets in my eyes. I don't like that.
Yeah. I think they mentioned that I think Martin Luther King used to do something like that before speeches too, where maybe it wasn't him, but it was a very, very big, powerful, you know, speaker used to do something like that. Whether it was like glasses or something. So I could be mistaken, but we should definitely talk about that because that's a really good tool to like kind of just, all right, I'm shutting, you know, I'm becoming this person now for this event, and then I can come back to this later. But it kind of puts like that shield, you know, like a protective shield on for you to kind of step into that role.
Yeah, for
I like
sure.
that. Some people wear like certain bracelets or, you know, just anything.
So yeah, that's why a lot of people have like a uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People talk about that, but it's more, you know, when they talk about like Steve Jobs, it's just like, he's just so smart that it needed to simplify it or whatever. Yeah. But I feel like that's probably part of it too.
Where totally.
You put on that outfit and you're like, okay, I'm Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs out.
Exactly.
All right. Let's get into an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Madison. Did you guys say cock? K-O-C-H?
Koch? Koch? Koch?
I always feel like it's cock.
Know.
But I don't know. Maybe I just got dick on the brain. Madison Coach. We'll go with that. I've had so much going on in my life recently and have had some hard times, but Self-Helpless has made me laugh to the point of tears and gotten me through all the bad stuff. They've also made me think about things that would have never crossed my mind. They made a serious impact on my life. Thank you, girls.
Thank you, Madison. So much. So very sweet.
Thank you so much. If you guys haven't yet, please go give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Gives you a chance to be read here on the show.
Yeah.
All right, we got some segments.
Segments, let's do it.
All right.
What do you got,
Kel? I've got something. I don't even know what category this goes under, but I just would like to open it up to you listeners maybe to give me some advice. And because I got your guys' advice on text yesterday. So a guy on Instagram has messaged me for a little while.
Oh my God.
And made comments about my feet. So it's a guy who has a foot fetish. And he has said before, like, I posted a picture of my feet with, like, my cat, and my feet are in, like, fuzzy socks. It looks terrible. And he was like, take those socks off and I'll buy your album type of a thing.
Yeah.
And then he sent a message. I don't even know. This was a few days ago that said $2,000 for a feet video. And I mean, I know that this sort of thing exists on the internet, that people get paid to send like foot photos and foot videos or whatever. Side note, WikiFeet is a thing I was not like aware of. You two both have rated nice feet ratings.
I didn't even know I was on that. Who considers me a celebrity foot person?
If you guys don't know what WikiFeet is, it's a website where people compile photos of your feet from the internet.
Who's doing
that?
So
if you posted, even if you posted a picture on Instagram that's like far away and you're in sandals, that picture will end up on WikiFeet.
Yes.
Is it lots of people compiling it or the person in charge of the website?
No, lots of people. You just submit it. You just submit it and then like.
We're all on each other's WikiFeet page. It's kind of fun.
It's so cute. It's so cute.
Isn't that cute?
So cute.
I was so confused.
And then like people can rate your feet. I have a very middle of the road. I'm a 3.3 stars. It's called OK Feet is my rating, and the Applebee's of feet. I'm hoping to move up someday. That'd be nice. You guys have nice feet ratings.
Oh my God.
So it's probably my pictures in the circle Puma sandals that everybody hates so much. I'm sure that really tanked me. That tanked me hard.
Yeah, that's on you.
That's all on me.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's this whole thing anyway. So I posted that screenshot of the guy's message saying $2,000 for foot video, and I was like, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I got flooded with people being like, you have to do it. Oh my God, please do it. Oh my God, you have to do it. So many people feel like it's $2,000 to send a video of your feet. Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
And I ran it by my husband. I was like, what do you think about this? And he's like, I mean, first, like, you know that dude's like gonna use it to jerk off. And I was like, yeah, I don't care about that. Like, that's whatever
he can jerk off. Like, you were gonna be like, he is? What? I thought he was gonna watch it like a Sunday night movie.
Yeah. But also, you can jerk off to other photos.
Exactly.
Like, you can just scroll through Instagram and jerk it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Yeah. I was like, that's fine. I don't mind. I'm happy to aid in that
well,
sort of a way.
Well, you know he's gonna jerk off to it. Exactly. Yeah, I gathered that, sweetie. That's why I'm running it past
you. Thank you so much. There's $2,000 at stake here. So, yeah, I'm aware.
What's that movie? What's the movie about an indecent proposal where someone, like, offers them a bunch of money to sleep with their wife? Yeah, that's, like, what this is, but, like, poor comedians. We're like $2,000 for a foot video. Babe, you gotta do it. Because indecent proposal, I think he's, like, $1 million for one night with your wife. And he's like, I don't know.
Oh, my God. I know. Like, my standards are so low. I'm like, $2,000? My God.
I can't believe they made a whole movie about it. That's so stupid. I mean, I think we all feel similarly about this foot thing where we're like, that's
worse. Yeah. And on top of that, I got a message from a female comic that was like, whoa, $2,000 is actually a really good rate. I've sent foot pics for $500.
What?
And I'm like, whoa.
You told me.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa, like you've done that before? And she's like, yeah, like I've done that several times. They just PayPal me and I send a foot photo.
Oh my God.
And now, that is so trusting.
If this was just a foot photo and it was for $2,000, I'd be like, sure. But this, I mean,
what kind of video?
I'm like, what is this? Do I need to make like character backstory? Is this like a whole thing? Is it just my feet, like me wiggling my toes?
Yeah.
How long is it? Is like, there's a lot of questions.
Why didn't you get your questions answered and then negotiate?
Kane brought up a good point. He's like, here's the thing. Like, do you really want a video of your feet just like out there? Because you send it to this guy. You don't know where it's going to get posted. Like, do you care? Do you care that there's like a video of your feet out there that you know? Do you care if people know you made $2,000 doing a foot video? Yeah. Like, that's kind of a slippery slope into, like, you know, where does it end?
Where's that ankle, baby?
At the ankle.
Am I being a cam girl? You know, I'm like, no, I would never. But it's just, it's a moral dilemma. I'm like, well, shit, I don't know. Because I'd really love $2,000 for something that's that simple.
Yeah.
I mean, your feet are already out there on WikiFeet. Yeah. This would just be a personal.
And you could make the video look like a found video, you know? Like, you could, like, set up your phone and then just kind of get you walking around the kitchen or something. So if anybody ever did, you'd be like, wow, that is nuts that somebody planted.
My husband just happened to be filming
just
the toes.
Happened to drop a camera on the floor. I cannot believe this occurred. I am incensed and outraged. End of press conference.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's your feet.
Yeah. Okay, really? So you guys are like, you think I should do it?
I mean, you want $2,000?
$2,000 is a lot.
Do I say you got to send me the money first?
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Yes, okay. You have to get the money first.
Okay, so you send me the money first, and then I specify I'll send you a 10-second video of my feet.
Yeah. Maybe,
I don't know what I'm going to even do in those 10 seconds.
No, you know what? I don't think you should say anything. I think you should just get the money and then
send a foot video.
But he might have some requirements. You know what I mean? Maybe it's like, oh, can it be at least a minute? Can it be socks off? Can it be like, I want
to
know.
I'm assuming it has
to
be socks off.
It's 2K. Yeah, you got to do socks off.
I was told. Are they painted toenails or unpainted? Like, what kind of
requirements? I mean, I tried to make them look nice. But so here's the thing too. So
if they need to be painted, it's $2,000 and $2,024.
For the pedicure. Here's the thing. If I send this guy a video of my feet, if you give a moose a muffin, they're going to want the whole bakery, right? I mean, where does this end with this guy? I send more a foot feet. Video. He might want another foot video.
Maybe he'll want
and
a
then
holiday
I become foot
one
video
where you
girl.
can dress him up in like little outfits for the holidays.
Well, reindeer antlers.
Maybe it'll just be like a nice pen pal relationship that you'll always have with this
one
person.
I don't want this to be like an ongoing thing.
Right.
What I would be more worried about getting out, I would not be worried about the video getting out. It's like, you don't know that those are my feet. I'd be worried that they'd screenshot the messages where I'm like, how long does it have to be?
Right? Like, that's like way more degrading.
That would be send me the money first.
I'm being like a fucking Lisa Simpson about this foot video. I'm like, okay, what specifications do you need? Like, I'm trying to, oh my God, so stupid.
You're like, I want
to
get an A.
So yeah, it's so dumb. Funny. Everybody's messages were so funny to me. Somebody was like, how do you explain that on your taxes? I just picture going to H&R and the woman's being like, you put $2,000 under boner donor? Which I sent a text to you yesterday and you're like, what? And I'm like, oh, it's a joke, dork.
I was like,
you of all people dad jokes. I'm like, that's just fucking a dad joke.
I was like, is this a, what did I ask? It was, if it was like a setting on WikiFeet.
Yeah.
Or if this was a feature
you
on WikiFeet.
You actually thought I had become like a full blown, like a Mary Kay consultant. Like you thought that's what I'm becoming for.
Yes.
For foot videos.
You can just say
boner donor.
An independent contractor work. I mean, you guys do random TV gigs and stuff all the time. It
just
could just
do
be
PayPal,
like, hey,
send to a friend.
It was an acting gig.
Yeah. Starring my fucking toes.
We are all a performer.
Oh my God.
Your feet are performers. Okay, listen, I would do it.
Would you do it?
I would do it.
Taylor, would you do it?
I asked
Cam. Like,
I'm
terrified of everything. So
would you actually do it?
I honestly, what would probably happen, I would probably see that message and delete it because I'm like, that's not real.
Well, that's the thing, too. I'm like, is this guy just fucking with me?
Yeah.
But, like,
once I'm not open-minded enough to even think about
entertainment.
Yeah.
My best friend's pregnant right now, and I texted her about it, and she's like, our lives could not be more different right now. You're getting offered $2,000 for a foot video, and I'm assembling a shitty diaper garbage can. She was like, what is life right now? But, yeah, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't gotten the offer yet. So if I did, I guess I'll deal with it if and when it comes. But I asked Cam, I was like, would I be allowed to, would you be cool if I did it? He's like, fuck yeah, we can go on vacation.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
pay off some bills.
You know, who cares?
Or stock it away. I don't. But I'm also not in a. I'm in a very different position than you guys now. Like, you guys are more public figure type of people now, and like, you're gonna continue to be. And so this is something that you would. You might face the repercussions of this. Like, no,
exactly.
I don't,
but if you just do a bit about it.
If that's the thing, you guys are comedians, though, yeah. So it's like, yeah, if you ever got called out, like, oh, Kelsey Cook used to send foot videos, you'd be like, yeah, and it was fucking awesome, and it paid my rent. Like, you can own
and
it.
And I talk about it on stage, so whatever.
It's not like you guys want to get into, like, politics or, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if you did, I don't know. But, like, it's not like you guys are trying to go get, like, I don't know, a corporate job somewhere where they're going to be looking into certain things and they can look at your social media and judge you on that. It's like, you're comedians, so.
I know. I mean, just so not me. Like, I've never done anything like this. Yeah. Not even remotely adjacent to cam girl stuff.
Yeah.
I performed at a porn star award, but like.
Yeah.
That's still me just doing my job.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, me actually participating in something for money.
Yeah. Like, I could send my feet and they'd be like, nobody knows who the fuck this person is. I could just keep sending my feet. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's the nice thing about feet videos. Like, you really cannot tell who it is.
Like, I work at home.
You could always just
PJs,
be like, not my feet.
Yeah.
I think you have plausible deniability.
Not anymore after this episode.
Maybe I'll paint some like freckles or something, like some like weird marks on my feet.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Anyway, that's my thing. I mean, listeners, chime in on Facebook, message me,
I feel
me,
like
whatever.
Everyone's gonna tell you to do it.
Who's gonna say, hey, don't do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think some people could make the argument of like, okay, but if you do that, then you can't undo that.
Okay, the
you
person who had sent stuff before, did they ever face any negative like repercussions for doing that?
I think I might ask her more questions today.
Yeah, did it lead to other stuff? Did it just stop there?
She had said that it was just one guy who like lives in like a very, very far away country. And I think she had sent that guy several photos. So it had been like, I think, an ongoing thing, I think.
I mean.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, the only fear, I guess, that we haven't talked about is like, you don't know who that is.
And I know.
It's probably fine. Yeah. But, like, you don't know if that person's going to, like, show up to your gigs and be like, we have a connection. I'm the one you sent this thing to.
I didn't think about
it's
that.
It's so personal. Yeah.
That's true.
It's so personal.
I don't have to worry about that shit anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you guys have to worry about that.
As soon as you start to have, like, a one-on-one sort of special transaction, especially because I made it this whole thing on Instagram story about, like, oh, my God, should I do this? Like, it's being a little heightened at this point. I am a little afraid that, like, you know, you crack that door open. People might want to keep pushing it open.
Yeah. Or they'll just feel closer to you than they should.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's an intimate thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sending a video on my feet. So, God damn it. Why couldn't it have just been like a feet bid for $20 and I would have blown by it? But $2,000, man.
I know. Maybe he meant to write 20 and he hit K instead.
No, I mean, it's three zeros.
Yeah, okay. All right.
He did put the dollar sign at the end of it, though, instead of the beginning, which is not correct. Maybe that's.
He's on Monopoly money.
Monopoly money. Maybe that's his loophole when he tries to send it. I wasn't in the right place. Not actually money.
Well,
these are Devin dollars. They're. If you get 20, you can get something out of the prize box.
Oh my god, Devin.
I got sticky hands and warheads.
Oh my god.
Got those balls that bounce really high. You've seen those, right? I'm really good.
Like the Chuck E. Cheese ticket counter. Oh my god, Devin is like exactly the name of somebody who would want a foot video. Yeah. It's not this guy's name, but.
I think Taylor brings up a good point about that. That makes a lot of sense. Is like you want that whole thing because people can show up in public and introduce themselves and stuff like that.
And
I'm at home in my pajamas. Nobody's finding shit from me. Yeah. You know.
Well, and as you've said on the podcast, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that I still have so much like hesitancy means I would probably regret it. So
yeah.
Okay, I'm glad we discussed that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Please keep us updated.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, maybe you can give my number.
Okay,
hey, I can't do this, but my friend Delaney has a 4-point-something on WikiFeet.
Just give me a cut. I'll become your foot, like, you know, your foot agent.
Oh, God. That foot is pimp. So funny, dude.
Foot pimp. Oh, foot my gosh.
Pimp.
That's
hashtag
a great next
pimp.
Album.
Cam and I will do couples foot photos. Does anybody want a couple foot situation?
No.
Nobody wants to jerk off to you
hey,
with
guys,
your...
Hey, 4.2 rating on WikiFeet. Want to see my...
Check what Cam has on WikiFeed. Oh my God. Do you think everyone's just on WikiFeed?
I looked Cam up and he's not on there. So not everybody's on there.
Is it just everyone with like a...
I think it's chicks. Like chicks that are like a little more public.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow. Well, that was... Oh,
what a treat.
It's still segments are still going.
That was our first segment.
That was, yeah. I mean, wow, what a ride, you guys. my segment is just basically, I have a good shit. Dick's by Delaney has relaunched.
Yay!
I'm super excited.
They look great.
Thank
they
you do. So they look much. Really good. I hired an incredible artist, Riley. Shout out to Riley. And basically, we do digital dick cartoons now.
Yeah, they look great.
Amazing. You still submit your photos and a description, and Riley dickifies you or your loved one or whoever, you know, you're submitting. And you can take that dick and print it on whatever you want. We just give you the information to like, hey, check this company out. They'll do whatever you want. Pillows, phone cases, mugs. So it's no longer just dick mugs. It's getting the design and then doing whatever you'd like.
Great.
I have one customer who's making like a a dick coloring book out of like dickified all of her friends and family and is like putting them together in a book for
amazing.
Them to color and like
amazing.
Some people are like printing them out and framing them and giving to people for holidays. So like everybody's
amazing.
They're doing such funny things with them. I can't wait to see like the finished product of like where people's dick cartoons end up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I sell dick pics now instead of dick mugs.
I love it.
And so that's been really, really fun. I just, yeah, it's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's my good shit.
Very proud of you.
Thank you.
It's fun.
What you got? I don't know if I have any, to be honest with you. Good shit. I'm not sick anymore. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That held on for almost 2 weeks. It was brutal. And I went to the doctor. Here's a defuck. I went to the doctor in Arizona and they were like, yeah, if you're still bad in like another 4 days or whatever, like basically just told me like once you get to 2 weeks, that's when you can have something, and just didn't want to give me anything, and
wow.
I had to be like, can I please have antibiotics? And they're like, we'll give you one, but you'll still have to wait to use the prescription. And I was like, okay, screw you.
Whoa.
So, oh, here's a good. Okay, I'll talk about this. Here's I'm finding the good shit as we muddy through this. While I was in Arizona, the manager of the club texted me and was like, are you still feeling really sick? Because we have this mobile IV service. And I was
like,
I don't know what that is, but sure, like I will do literally anything. I feel terrible. And so they sent this woman over and she just injected my bloodstream with a massive bag of like just, I guess,
vitamins
and supplements and water and whatever, like, and yeah, like vitamin C and zinc and all these other things. I did it the second day too, and they put some Torbitol in it, which is just like really strong ibuprofen. And I like, it was amazing. Right afterward, I was like, okay, I don't feel like completely better, like, but I feel like I can go do these shows now.
Whoa.
Like, it was crazy.
I'm like pinching my arm. That gives me so much anxiety, to be honest.
Really? To have an IV in?
I fucking hate IV, that not needles, but IV stuff. Like, really fucking, I hate that.
Yeah, you gotta sit there for like 30 to an hour.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
yeah. Under no circumstance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you gotta wait for it. It's like a bag like this big. And
that
you
makes
wait
me seriously want to throw up.
Really?
That makes me like super nauseous.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
that
I
doesn't
just
bother
sat there.
You? The
weirdly
feeling
enough,
of a needle
no.
right there for 30 minutes to an hour?
No.
Wow.
Oh.
But it worked, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it helped.
It helped
hurt,
a lot. I mean, yeah, I felt like I finally started feeling better.
That's
incredible.
That was a thing. Is that like is that a mobile service that a lot of cities have?
I don't know. I haven't checked.
IV thing?
They have,
I'm
like,
sure.
Oxygen bars. I see
that.
Yeah,
I think if you look up, that's what I said. I was like, how do I find a place like this in LA? Like, oh, just look up IV hydration.
Huh.
Mm.
Because
it's, they were telling me that a lot of people do it for, a lot of people do it for like
hangovers. I was just going to say hangovers, right?
Yeah.
I've seen people do that.
But for us, I feel like it's such a good thing when you're traveling because you get so dehydrated and you're
really
just
depleted.
Like so many germs. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this like before and after I get on planes, like all this month, just to keep myself.
What
good.
Did they charge for like a bag of stuff?
I asked her, I think she said like 140.
Okay.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you go buy masks?
Did I go buy masks?
For flying?
Oh, no, I haven't yet. Okay. I need to.
I've stayed really strict with wearing masks and using wet wipes, like wiping everything down, wearing the mask. And I started to get a little sick in New York, but honestly, it went away after like maybe 48 hours. So amazing. I don't think it was like a full big thing, but I have been flying a lot lately and I've managed to stay healthy.
That's awesome. That's good.
So mask life, man. I mean, you look fucking crazy, but... seems to help. Also, Taylor just shared such an incredible story on Patreon that, like, you guys...
It's already regretting it. It's so embarrassing.
I know we're biased because it's our show, but, like, it's such a fucking funny story. Holy
Very
shit.
Very relatable.
Very
I
relatable.
So. I felt like an insane person.
So many people have done this.
I was covered in sweat listening to it. It's... You guys... And Alina shared one last week, too. The Patreon's just been really fun lately. So.
Oh, my gosh. And we're only 20 people away from reaching our goal of 500.
Yeah. We keep going up. It's very exciting.
And once we reach 500, we're doing an exclusive live stream Q&A with our Patreon community.
Hell yeah. So we've got some show dates and stuff like that to plug. I want to give a quick... This is coming out on November 4th. Your birthday, Taylor.
It comes
out on your birthday. Everybody go wish Taylor a happy birthday.
Happy
birthday to you. By the time this comes out, it will have been a few weeks since I was there. But just a shout out to all the amazing Helpsters and Rissa Fury fans who came out to the shows at Comedy Works in Denver. Holy shit. Like, so cool to meet you guys. You're the sweetest. Also, shout out to this amazing Helpster and her boyfriend who drove to see my show at Southwestern University, which is an hour outside of Austin. They drove from Austin to see it. And it was literally like a show for, I don't know, maybe 25 college freshmen in their cafeteria.
Oh my god.
This Helpster's first experience seeing me. And like, you know, it's fine. Like I did my time, you trudge through it, you get the check, but it's definitely not like the most, I don't know, desirable place to perform or the place you would want somebody to see you for the first time in a college cafeteria. But anyway, thank you so much for making the drive up. You're so sweet. I was, like, shocked that there was anybody in the crowd that wasn't just, like, a student there. And
that's so nice.
That's very sweet. Hopefully I'll be back to Austin to perform at, like, the comedy club there and not... you don't have to come drive to this cafeteria. But anyway, go for it, Tay.
Well, this weekend, I'm hoping they're sold out and I don't need to say this, but, this weekend, November 10th, I'm taping my special.
Yay!
In Portland at the Aladdin Theater. Hope I'm ready. Hope I'm not freaking out.
You're more than ready.
And then, after that, I'm going to disappear for a minute and a half, and then I will be, at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oaks, Michigan, November 21st through the 23rd, and the Comic Strip in Edmonton, Canada, December 12th through 14th, and those are my only two road weekends after the special. I wanted to take the rest of the year off, but everyone's like, you can't do that, and I was like, all right, so those are the two I'm doing. And you know, if you're in LA or New York, I'll probably do some shows there, but other than that, that's all it is.
Yeah,
awesome.
And you know, get your dick pic orders in, people, for the holidays, because it's been really fun. And so yeah, check out Dicks by Delaney if you want to dickify a loved one, you know, celebrity, character, an object.
Yeah.
We're getting some very fun requests. So it's a good time. And you can follow Dicks by Delaney on Instagram to see what people are dickifying. But yeah, awesome. it takes a little while. So get your orders in sooner rather than later for the holidays.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And you can go to KelseyCook.com for upcoming tour dates. There's actually a lot of dates already added for weekends next year. So check that out. See if I'm coming to your city and go watch Rissa Fury.
Sweet.
Yay. All right. We love you guys. Go leave an iTunes review. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content and ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on TTomComedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
perfect. You guys can find me at kelseycook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at kelseycookcomedy. Twitter is at kelseycook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.